Dia, Sam Thugger, Boss Hog, Outlaws, Jim Johnson, representing this Texas, man.
This is honestly, in my opinion, and I've only been to Houston a couple of times, but personally, I think if I could talk to Papa Dave about it, it's one of the greatest songs ever by the city of Houston. If you guys don't know, this is Slim Thug's I Run. It's a actual rap remix version of Flock of Seagulls I Ran, as you can tell a little bit. You can feel the beat a little. Slim Thug is from Houston, and that's what the video is about, you know, the idea of running the streets of Houston and all that. A lot of shots of the Houston skyline and everything. Really good. So, given all that, and I love this song. Since I first heard it, I've always been a fan. Like, one of the things about me is I'm intrigued when you take famous songs and make a remix of it and change the genre. Because, you know, we all know, like, Missionary Thomas from Soup loves to hear, like, bad remakes or tuning of songs, you know? Like, you know, like, they played that song, Michael Jackson's Beat It, and it was sang by the Chinese singer Wing, you know? So stuff like that. I'm intrigued about some of these that can be really good if you change the whole genre of it. You know, so like I Run by Slim Thug, Trick Daddy, Let's Go, which has got some bits of from the Crazy Train from Ozzy Osbourne, or you look at a number of other songs. I actually just had one on the top of my head that I am forgetting, and I hate the fact that I forgot it already. But yeah, I really enjoy this kind of music. So yeah, Wing, you know, she's like a Chinese singer, classical. She's American, if I remember right, but she does, you know, but she, you know, Chinese American, and, she remade, Beat It from Michael Jackson, same lyrics and everything, so it was pretty funny, but I enjoy these kind of things, so, yeah. I'm Johnny Florida, and welcome to another edition of the Reality Check, everybody. I hope you're doing, pretty good. For anybody that's listening to this live, it's a couple of days later than usual. with covering the what do you call it? Covering the okay, Sam, I'll send it to you. Yes, this is Reality Check, Dave. Usually, I covered the All Elite Wrestling All Out pay per view this last weekend. So, if you guys are listening to this on a download, it may have been a minute. So, I was just wanting to just enjoy the rest of my weekend, and I ended up not doing Reality Check. If anybody that's listening to this on the download, you're not missing a beat because you're listening to this when you wanted to listen to it. You know. Take a drink. Yeah. This one's going to last me a while, even though I only got a little left. I took a bottle of water with some Tang mix and put it in the freezer. So now I got to wait this thing out to freeze. So what's the topic for tonight? And what does that song got to do with it? Well, the song is basically going a little bit of a hit with Slim Thug and the idea of, you know, running Houston. You know, remember the line he's talking about? Because the song was made right after the recession. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, the recession. And he goes, Mr. Obama, we're so tired of selling crack, you know, and all that kind of stuff, basically helping to get help them out and everything so he could change up and all that. But they still run Houston. That was the whole theme of it. And I was trying to find the perfect song that had a great beat of a song that I can really enjoy, whether I've known it before or I haven't, if I can really enjoy it and get some energy going. Tonight's show is going to be about promotion. Psychology and, you know, the thought process behind going for promotions and everything. Now, why did this episode come up? What sparked my desire to want to do an episode on this? So, at my job, people know, recently I got done with all my training and I'm doing this job that I got, you know, this advanced job and everything. And apologize. I'm going to probably be clearing my throat a lot tonight. I apologize. At my job, you got a number of people who are career people in this at the company, you know, and they're really good. You know, they're good people. They're knowledgeable. They're skilled. But there's two different avenues of what they've done. There were those who have climbed up the ranks and perfected and gone up and taken up new responsibilities and gone up to the higher level, and they get a pay raise and all that kind of stuff. They're the next link on the chain link, you know, on a chain. But then you got some of the people. Now, keep in mind, there's also the third group. There's those who are younger or younger experience in the company. You know what I mean? There's only been for like brand new or 3 years, stuff like that, you know. But then you got the other career personnel that never have taken a promotion, that they've stayed at where they're at. They're now the senior persons at our level, you know. You know, it's kind of like the whole, you know, what's the joke from Grand Theft Auto 5 when talking about, like, you know, like how the being the OGs and everything, you know, like, you know, what was it? You know, what is that supposed to mean? He goes, you know, like, we all big G's now, but he bigger, right? You know, that's kind of what it is, you know, is that they're all the same. Now, I bet at your jobs you've seen the same thing. I guarantee you've got somebody like that, you know, or a number of them, you know. One of our guys, he's been in the company and has been working there he's going on 18 years, never taken a promotion. Thought about it many times in the past, but he's never taken a promotion, and he apparently does not want a promotion. So, you know, so he's just staying how it is. And meanwhile, I got a guy who is one of the senior officials for us of the company, and he's been in the job for about 14 years, so he's got less time than the senior one, but he's got much higher. He's gone much up in the ranks and everything. You know, he's like four levels above us. Okay. There's a couple of people above him, so keep in mind, I'm not saying he's the top, but that gives an idea. We got one who's a couple of levels above us, and he's been in this job for 6 years. You know, so think about that. So now you got people who are senior analysts at our company, same level as me, you know, that just decided never go up. They got to where they're at right now, and they're like, I'm just sticking this out. And they don't want to move up. They don't want to do any of the extra things like that. And then you got others who have gone up. So I thought of the idea, and some people may think of it as like, oh, maybe this is going to be a weird, or some of y'all might think this is an interesting topic. Some of y'all might think this is boring. Some people might be thinking, I'm grasping at straws to come up with this. But I've tried to understand because for the because honestly, I empathize, which means to understand. I understand the concept, but I also don't understand the reasoning. You know what I mean? Of not going up. You know, I don't get. I could I do get it, but I don't get it. You know, the fact that people can do this, and I honestly don't like the fact that it's even allowed. The fact that these things can happen. You know, now I understand sometimes it's like, you know, people, you know, there's just, it's so hard to get, go for promotion, you know, so it's like only so many spots, so it's like really hard in some jobs and some companies, you know what I mean? And so that part's understandable, you know, if there's only so many, spots and you know it's hard to go up, then, you know, you just got that and you'll probably wait for the right time. Okay, I get that. I got, that makes sense, you know, like why are you gonna, you know, so, but, and Sam's pointing out in the chat, you know, not wanting to get out of one's comfort zone. That's something right there. So we're going to analyze this. So what comes with experience and just staying at where you're at? Well, first off, you are the closest thing to the perfectionist. And what I mean by that, if you stay in your job, in your level, you know, your rank, for example, let's just go like a military term. You know, you stay at your rank and you don't go for promotion. You stay in that job, in that position, and you have perfected it. When you are the senior person and you got all these years in that job, in that field, you are the closest thing to perfection because you know all the ins and outs. You know how everything works. In fact, you know how things have gone when it comes to the updates. You know, every year some policies change, some things go around. You've been there for the previous policies, you're there for the new policies, and you'll be there for the next policies. When the newest stuff comes in, many times, you guys are the first ones to know how things work and how it's done and how to get it going. You get somebody who had your position and they've taken a couple of promotions and they know of the thing coming in, but when it comes time for them to go back, they start using the skills that they know and the experience they had from, say, 2012. And it's like, it's not working properly. And it's like, well, that's because the knowledge and the experience you have is 7 years dated. You know, there's things have changed and this is how it is now. You know? So that's a benefit that comes with those guys. Those old timers, if you want to call it, that doesn't mean they have to be old, but those who have been in the longest period doing that job, been in longer than anybody, been in that position longer than people who have taken promotions. They are the go-to gurus that people go to. You know, back in the Army, for example, the platoon leader would tend to be a lieutenant fresh out of OCS or West Point or ROTC coming and taking over a platoon. Okay? That's about roughly 45 soldiers. The platoon leader is in charge, hence the title. But do you know what happens? The platoon leader does not go and give out all the orders. The platoon leader talks to the platoon sergeant. Now, in this example, the platoon sergeant has clearly taken promotions. But you have these sergeants and these staff sergeants, the platoon sergeant, in some cases corporals, that they got, they all have more experience and service and time and grade, time and service period than the lieutenant. So the lieutenant would go to them. I had a lieutenant back in Alaska when I was stationed there that he came to us combat veterans about a couple things when it came to like the Humvee and some of our equipment, stuff like that, and ask here and there. And it wasn't like the lieutenant knew nothing. It wasn't that. But the way he did it was he knew, he never made himself seem like he was an idiot. It's that he knew that as combat veterans, we knew more than him. And he utilized that to his benefit and, you know, he knew where to go. And the benefit was it also gave us more confidence because we knew we had a fresh butter bar. That's what a second lieutenant's rank is, a gold bar. So the nickname in the Army is a butter bar. He was a butter bar. He was fresh. You know, he was fresh out. He was green. People would automatically be like, okay, we got a new one we got to break in or we're going to have to deal with because is he going to come in yelling and everything? Okay, everybody get in your uniforms. Uniform inspection, we got to – all of a sudden – no. This lieutenant came in and he talked with us and he listened and he learned. And that's what made him a good one. And he, the fact was, he recognized our knowledge. So it gave us faith and confidence in ourselves, knowing that our new platoon leader was coming in and asking us a couple things out there, because we know he doesn't know this. He knows we know that he doesn't know this, and now we know that he knows that we know he doesn't know that. I know it sounds confusing, but that's what went with it, you know? And it helped out. And it gave us more faith in the fact that he is learning. We know firsthand he's learning, because we're the ones fucking telling him, you know? And that was the benefit that we had with this guy, was that he came and recognized our experience. Now, keep in mind, at this time that I'm talking about, I'm only 3-4 years into the Army, okay, when I'm dealing with these lieutenants. And this lieutenant, you're a second lieutenant for 18 months to 2 years, okay? Then you get promoted to first lieutenant as long as you got good conduct. Usually you do. You could have been at West Point or ROTC, so you did that for 4 years, but guess what? You don't know all the stuff, okay? You could have put me in the Army for 15 years as a military policeman as I was. You throw me over to an artillery unit. I know jack. I don't know a damn thing about artillery. Load, aim, fire. That's what I know. They know everything else that goes with it. So, Let's analyze this. I'm talking about the idea of experience. Now, I'm only talking about a few years, but now you take these guys that they have done this job for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, never taken the promotion. They know much more than anyone on this when it comes to that level, because they've been there through all the stuff, okay? Now, I've dragged that part on. Now let's look at the person who's got the promotion, okay? What comes with taking the promotion? First off, more responsibilities. That's always the clearest thing. The two obvious things with a promotion. Well, the three things. One, the new title or rank. Two, a pay raise. God help, are willing. And three, more responsibilities. Now, by being into the next promotion, if it is another rank high and it puts you into a leadership position, you now have people that report to you. You now have people who do the work for you. And you have to report to your next level in the chain of command about everything going on. Any screw-ups that happen on their part is your fault, is your responsibility to deal with. Now, you can mess up too. I know one of the guys who's a level up from me makes screw-ups every so often. Now, I don't hold that against them, you know? I'm not that guy, because I understand sometimes human error, and honestly, for a couple hours throughout the day, throughout our shift, now working night shift, it's hell on earth, okay? Once it gets past about 10 o'clock, because I work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., once we get to 10 o'clock, things calm down, and it's like, okay, now we can start working on some things, and it gets a lot easier. But for those first three hours, things are hectic. You know, more hectic than most of the people during the day shift, because we've got to do so much stuff before the clock runs out. You know what I mean? There's a person who's a level higher than us who makes the mistakes here or there, and that happens. So I get that, because everything's going on, and I don't hold it against them. I'm not going to be that guy. You got others that do. It's like, oh, they take the promotion, and they want to be above me. They want to tell me what to do, but they can't do this shit right. And it's like, and I was just listening to this just yesterday of a guy dealing with this. And I'm thinking, and this guy that I'm talking about is a fucking probie, and he wants to talk shit. He's an older guy. Now, when I say older, I mean he's nearing his 40s. He's like a year or two away. And he's complaining about someone, the next in rank, line, the supervisor, who's older and a lot of years of service. But because they're not perfect, he talks shit and he wants to get mad, because he feels like he doesn't like the fact that he's basically treated almost like a 23-year-old, you know, because he's brand new. He's not new to this company. He's new to the field. And guess what, dude? You got to shut the fuck up. You know, Christopher Titus, have a long, tall drink out of a shut the fuck up. You know, Seriously, you need to stop that because you're the probie. Are they perfect? No. But guess what? You are far the same from perfect, okay? You want to get mad and you want to act all tough and everything, be like, look, I'm older and I got all these years of experience in the world and other jobs. It's like, great. Guess what? You know jack shit about this field. Who here watched the show Gold Rush? It used to be Gold Rush Alaska. Remember the first time when they started bringing in Parker and everything? You know, he worked at his grandfather's gold mine and everything. And he came over to help them help out the Hoffman crew with a couple of things. What happened? He's showing them a couple of things here or there from all his time since he was a kid. Being at Grandpa John's, I love that show, Grandpa John's mine. Learning all these things between the mining from his grandfather and the construction company from his dad, he learned a lot of stuff to the point that he was 17, 18 years old and he was, you know, very knowledgeable. So you got this Hoffman crew that's only been doing this for like maybe a year. And Parker comes over and, you know, he's giving them some info. And Todd Hoffman even made a comment. He said, it's weird, you know, the fact that we're all older guys, you know, they're like in their 40s, 50s, and they're taking instructions on what to do and learning from an 18-year-old. But, you know, and eventually they got very competitive with each other. But during that point, Todd Hoffman had basically said, he knows more than us and a lot more experience on this. So I'm not going to let his age be a justification to not listen to him because he knew nothing while Parker knew a lot more. You know, that's what comes with it. So, if this guy wants to be mad because he's an older guy and he's having to be treated like a younger person, in this field, dude, you are. You may be 38, 39 years old, but guess what? You're a 20-year-old in this job. That's what it is. You are brand new to this field. You haven't done this field, okay? So that right there is another part that what comes with a promotion is extra headaches because the responsibility is not just more things to do. It's also more headaches. You got to answer to above. You got to provide info down below. You have to fix any problems that happens down below. And if there are problems that happens from up top, sometimes you're the one who has got to deal with them. You know, what's the old saying? Shit rolls downhill. You know, so sometimes there were problems and things going on. You get into yourself in a pickle because of, you know, some regional supervisor or even the location manager or whatever just does whatever because they want things differently. And now you got to deal with all this shit. Now it's like this is just not proper. But fine, fuck it. You got your marching orders. You got to go do it. Okay, that's what comes with it. Now, here's one other thing. There's a number of other things, but here's one thing that comes about with a promotion that people don't think about, okay? And what that is unseen knowledge. Now, what I mean by that is this. at my job, there are parts of the place that I can't go into. You know, you need to be a higher rank. You know, we'll go with that. You know, you need to be in a higher position. It's a need to know. Now, before someone starts to be like, oh my God, what is it dealing with top secret information? No. But they don't want to deal with all the traffic, and it's a lot easier for a couple of chiefs to be able to be in there, keep track of everything, and put it all out to the Indians, rather than everybody knowing everything, and then everybody who's an Indian trying to act like a chief. Guess what? That's not how it is. You can't be, nothing works when you're top heavy. Okay, so things happen at certain levels, okay? There are places, and I know what they look like, okay? I know what the rooms look like. It's just I can't go in there when business is going down, when things are being worked on, and things are being monitored. Because that comes with, you can call it a privilege, but it's also the responsibility. Because those who are in there have to be ones who are qualified to be doing those things, you know what I mean? And that only happens when you take a promotion. Now, let's look at what some of the other things. Okay, there's also other benefits sometimes when you take a promotion, okay? Say you get a good pension system going on with your company, period. You know, my company's got a pretty good pension system, I'll admit. When you get a promotion, they could offer you even more into your pension. Maybe they offer another percent or something like that. You know, my company, I think they offer, if I were to take a promotion, I think they might offer 1% more into my pension if I were to take a couple of promotions. If not, I might see that, if I hit, unless you fudge your skills and can't really do the job. That too, yeah. Well, that's why every job has a probation period as well, Sam. Like my job, every promotion has a 1 year probation period. So they could test it out. And if you can handle a year, you're off probation. Literally every position. I'm not even talking about like just the entry job where you're on probation. No, it's every job. You know, every job has a probation period. So you can be really good at your basic level, go up into an intermediate level and be great. But then you go into a basic level supervisor position and be bad at it. So what happens? You get demoted back down to the intermediate level because they know you passed that. You passed up, passed through the probation period for that and everything. So you're good. So that's the things that can come from it, you know? So I mean, I do know what you're saying, and trust me, sometimes you have those that really happen. So I'm with you. It's just my company was able to make a safety net for that, a 1 year probation. That's all, you know. So companies would be smart to get those safety nets sometimes. You know, I know they're a real hassle, and trust me, sometimes they suck. But you know, honestly, I look at it and it's like, it does make sense because you don't want to have somebody who takes a promotion and then it's like this, they're in that position and they're just bad. And it's like you can never get them out. No, it's like if they can make it through 365 days, you know, then you're good. So, yeah. So I see what you're talking about. You know, you had some slip through, your net sucked. Well, that's why, you know, that's where the probation period comes in. So that's at least one thing. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I do admit it helps. Now, let's look at the whole concept of why people don't take the promotion. I kind of talked about that a little before, but it was mostly about what the benefits are about not taking a promotion. Let's look at why people don't take the promotion. The biggest and most obvious reason is, if you can guess, and I know you can because everybody here is much smarter than me, is the fact that people don't want the extra headache. They don't want the extra responsibility. They just want to push on through and be fine, and that's it. And it's like, okay, why am I going to take a promotion and deal with more shit? You know, my job, they do, every promotion is a 5% pay raise is what comes with it, you know. Some people just think, they're like, yeah, you can't pay me enough to do that job, you know, and I hear that a lot. We look at our one guy who's our, the manager for the place, and some people say, you know, at the factory, you know, it's like, oh, my God, no. Over here, you know, at the warehouse, he's making not enough money for me to ever want that job. And people, and you know, other people will be like, "Ah, oh, that's a good amount of money." And he makes a good amount of money. I will say that. But some people is like, "Oh, you couldn't pay me enough." That's what happens to it. You know. Now, Sam just wrote down a number of things. You know, responsibility, liability. That's a big one right there. Pay, look to solve all problems. Now, many people like that part, but other people, you know, there are people I know who don't take the promotions, and they're always the ones people go to. When I got trained up, the two guys who trained me up, one's been doing it for 13 years, one's been doing it for 9 years. The one who's been doing it for 9 years just got a promotion, okay? Now, for the record, he tried to get promotions, okay? He just, other people got picked before him. It wasn't that he was bad, it's just the other people were better. That's all. So he did try to go for promotion. 9 years and 13 years. One of the guys who was the main training officer said it best to me. You know, he's pointed out, you know, that he's got multiple locations that he knows the other training officers for those warehouses and those places. And, you know, he said, of everybody that I know that they could be putting you for training, these two are the Lamborghini and the Ferrari. They are the best. Getting you trained up by these two guys, you can't do better. You know, if you want to be trained up, I'm putting you with this guy and I'm putting you with this guy. And that's what happened to me. And they trained me up and it was amazing. There's a couple of things that are a little different on each other. But the point is, one of the things that was always said was learn from these guys, learn from the other guys you work around, take a little from everybody, from some of their niches and work with that. Make your own thing. You're going to become your own person. You're going to become your own analyst. You're going to become your own thing. One day I'm going to be a training officer, maybe, you know, or just an FTO, you know. You know, take from everybody because that's what's going to happen. You know, we all learn from everybody. That's the thing. And that was the benefit that I had. Now, the one, like I said, he just took the promotion. You know, he just got it a couple months ago. The other, still 13 years, not taking any promotion. As he pointed out, he's the senior analyst. He's the senior specialist at our rank. When it comes time every year that we book for vacation, when it comes to our level, he's the first one that the supervisors come to and go, "What? When do you want vacation?" He's the most senior one, so he gets that benefit. If he were to take a promotion right now, he'd be at the bottom of the list at the next rank because he's the newest one. It doesn't matter time and service. It's all about the time and position, time and grade, you know. That's what it comes into. So now someone's going to say, oh, well, I mean, you know, he should be propelled up, you know, because we got, you know, if he were to take the promotion, he should be higher than the guy who's been in only for 9 years. The guy who's been in 9 years has been at that net rank now for a much longer period, while the other one who's been in for 13 just took that promotion, you know what I mean? You gotta be able to honestly, time and grade, time and position is an important thing. And that's what they always look at. So he sees that as the benefit for himself. Now, it's like I said, it was about, they don't want to take it because of the extra headaches, the extra responsibility. And Sam made a great point. They don't want to leave their comfort zone. They got what they got going on. And why change that? You know, what's the old saying? You know, why fix what's not broken? But here's the problem. If you got people that never take a promotion, they're just staying still. What's the point of keeping them around? Because you're going to need fresh blood over time. And more importantly, you want those people with all those skills moving up. Because if you got somebody who's much more qualified, we got a guy, let's use a military rank comparison. We got a guy who's like a sergeant, okay, or a corporal. He is one of the most experienced guys we got, and he's so smart, and he's so skilled. And he's smarter than one of the people who is like the platoon leader, like the lieutenant, by immense amount. Now, here's the difference. In the military ranks, those who go to officer candidate school start off as a second lieutenant, while enlisted go all the way up to sergeant major. So it's a bad comparison like that. You know what? I'll take it on the police array. I'll take police. The guy is like an officer or a corporal or a sergeant. He's really smart, really knows what he's doing. But meanwhile, we got somebody who's like a lieutenant or a captain who's good, but he's not as good as this guy. I'd rather switch those two people. I really would. Because that guy is much more skilled, and now it undermines the person who's in the leadership position, because the person who's in the leadership position is less skilled and less experienced. People don't go to the leader to get things fixed or right or whatever it is. What do? They're going to the guy who's got all the other experience, that most experienced officer, like I was making the comparison. You know what I mean? That's what was happening. Now, the person who's the leader, in many ways, understands and appreciates their knowledge and goes to them at times as well. So it actually is a great working relationship they got going on. But there's other cases where that's not going to happen. It's not going to work out. People are going to get into fights, and it's going to cause a lot of turmoil, you know. You know, that's the last thing you want to risk happening. People, you don't want somebody who knows a lot more than their leadership. And again, this is not talking about the know-it-all. This is the person who has all the experience and the work to be able to know more because they've been through a lot more of it. And that person knows more than their leadership. And now the leadership is undermined because, again, people go to the others. People don't go to that supervisor. They're going to this guy. This guy knows a lot more, you know. And that can cause a lot of problems sometimes depending on who the leader is. Now, some people could say, here's where the plus and minus comes. Some people would say that's the fault of the leadership then. They need to get more experience. They need to get more training. They rush themselves in the promotion compared to the other guy. Truth be told, the person I'm talking about, the supervisor, didn't rush themselves. They took their time. It's just they haven't been in as long as the guy I'm talking about. You know, go figure. But they did all that. And they should not be so egotistical to be getting mad like this. Okay. In some ways, that makes sense. In some ways, it's okay and understandable, the fact that, you know, the leader should not be so egotistical on things. But it's not always egotistical, and I'm going to get to that. It's understandable, the fact that the leader should be trying to get more training, more education, more experience in this, so that way they are much more equipped. That I will always agree. The higher in rank you go, the more training and experience and education you need. You know, and I'm not talking education like college. I'm talking like education in that field, education and training. You know, you need a lot more when you go up in the ranks. It's just, that's just basic. But his then minus side is that it's not egotistical if the leader is trying to get themselves, if the leader is mad that everyone's going to this person, because it undermines their leadership ability to everybody else, including the other supervisors. And the other supervisors look at them and go, they've lost control. That person's in charge. You know, they're not in charge of the shift. That guy is in charge of the shift. That guy runs everything. Now, you want to treat that guy as like your second in command. That's fine. You can work like that. You know, I mean, we see that all the time, you know. So a lot of people, sometimes they always find that good deputy, that good number two, that could be as much more experience than them sometimes in certain things, or find out whatever their weaknesses are and find the person who could fill those weaknesses, and they work as a great team. So that happens a lot, and that's fine. But, you know, if everybody just goes to that person instead of the leadership, then that's a big problem. And that can cause a lot of headaches, you know. So you need to understand the fact that it undermines the leader in front of everyone else when they shouldn't be undermined. And the fact is, it makes sense that it undermines them, you know. At the same time, maybe they already have a lot of training and experience. They already have a lot of education. They already have a lot of those things. But the problem is that they aren't able to get some of the other stuff because they haven't been in as long. You know, maybe they just never had the option to be able to get into it, you know. I know about some of the senior guys that we got, you know, more senior analysts and all that. They got themselves into some really good training courses and everything that used to be offered by the company that are not offered anymore. And they're good stuff. It just, you know, they just cut it out is all. So you got the people who come in and become supervisors. They can't match those senior analysts and senior specialists because they don't have those courses anymore. So those guys benefited from it, and the new supervisors did not get to. I can tell you some of the courses that they told me about, I want to get into. Not to mention they offer a $10 a month pay raise. And I know that sounds a little stupid, like $10, that's not a lot. But here's the thing, there was up to 12 of them. They had 12 courses. You knocked all of them out, you could have gotten $120 a month. And the courses were like, you'd spend a few weeks on each of them. So you're getting all this good training and education. And then, and you're getting paid while going to the training. And now you're getting a pay raise, a mini pay raise after that. One course by itself, $10 is not a big thing. Although, I love the concept of getting paid to go to school like that, like I did with the GI Bill. And my last thing, you know, going to training with this job is they paid me. So, I mean, and so not a great incentive. It was, because you got to remember, you get more education and more training and more experience in what you're doing. You're becoming more knowledgeable in those items. And they give you the pay raise. The incentive was, you know, you knock out all these courses. I mean, think about it. At $10 a month, that's $120 a year more. You knock out 12 of them, that's, what is it, like $1,440 or something like that? $120 times 10 is $1,200. $1,440 a year more. Think about that. $1,400 a year more if you could knock out all of them. Some of them did knock them all out. You know what I mean? You got the huffed nitrous for free. That's great. But, you know, these are by itself, it may not have been the biggest thing, you know. It may not be the biggest benefit, but that it was still something. It was more about everything else. The money was just a little extra is all. And over time it added up. So those supervisors, they can't get that benefit of being more knowledgeable than the senior specialists because they don't have that option. You know what I mean? Now the company's got a lot of other good training. You know what I mean? It just doesn't offer the pay raise like those. I take it back. They do, because if you can get enough, you know, like you're saying, continuing education, if you can get enough continuing educational hours of training, they work under the same system similar as what I saw with the military, is that 40-hour courses are the blocks you want to look at. And you knock out a 40-hour course, which means 1 week's worth of training, throughout the entire week. You get a certificate for those. You put that in your training block. Once you hit 200 hours, you get a pay raise. If you got a degree like me, I'm getting an $80 a month pay raise just for having a bachelor's degree. Okay? I add more training, I can keep going, and I can max out at $130 a month. That $130, I don't think counted the 12 courses I was talking about before. So you could have, under those logic, made $250 a month more. You know what I mean? So think about how much that is. $250 a month, that's $3,000 a year pay raise if you could max it out at that time. Now it's about $1,500 a year. A little bit over $1,500 a year is what you can make more with education and training. But that's still an extra block just for getting more training. And you're going to get paid eventually once you hit certain periods with that, you know? So people would take that. But now you get the, and I'm starting to drag out, so I'm going to have to get back to this. So you will have these promotions that people will take, but they can't always be more experienced than the other person because that person's got more training and things that's not available anymore. And that's what the big negative can be, you know? So let's think of this as well. There are people who will take these promotions, who will not take these promotions, and it's just because why do the extra headache, why have the extra hassle, why do the extra work, and in some cases it could be seen as lazy, you know. Now, I understand if you want to take more time, that I'm not saying that, okay, you've been in the job for 3 years, go for a promotion. Why are you not going for a promotion, you lazy bastard? No, I'm not saying that. If you say, I want to wait till I hit 5-6 years before I go for the promotion, I want to really make sure that I am really skilled at this job. I love that. I love that concept. Go for it. I got that, okay? That's fine. But if you're 20 years in, 15 years in, 12 years in, and you haven't gone for a single promotion, what the hell? You know, I see it with law enforcement as well. People know my background, everything like that. It just messes me up. You know, law enforcement, they get smart. Like down here, you could have somebody who's like a deputy and just does 20 years and never takes a promotion to sergeant or even a corporal position. But you know what a lot of the law enforcement agencies like the sheriff's offices have done down here is they created extra ranks. They now have like the, I don't know if they call it like the deputy first class or something like that, but it's like this one single chevron, which is like a trained private in the army, and you wear that. Sergeant is 3 chevrons. Corporal is 2 chevrons, but they made a second version of the corporal. Corporal ranks down here are gold, just like in the army, gold on green. What do? They have silver on green. Johnny, that's very judgmental of you, shockingly. So, look, dude, I'm going to get to the point. They made the master deputy rank as well. It's 2 chevrons, just like a corporal. So now you can, it's like after 5 years, you go up to like that first class deputy or whatever they call it, you know? And then you can go up to master deputy. You can go up to master deputy, I think, after 10, 15 years, something like that, you know? So they at least got that. So you can immediately look at those guys and know they are the ones very experienced. But you still got like those guys who do that. Meanwhile, you got a corporal or a sergeant who's probably been in for 7-8 years. You know what I mean? So now look at that. Luke, a person should never be forced to accept a promotion, their choice. Guess what? In the Army, it's the exact opposite. Here's the thing, and it does bother me. And here's the thing I'm going to get to you. So in the Army, for example, the Army will kick you out after X amount of time of not taking a promotion. If you are not promoted to... I think it's if you're not promoted to, I think it's E4, if you're not an E4, a specialist or a corporal or a petty officer third class, for example, I think, by 12 years or a sergeant, you will be kicked out of the Army once your contract's up because you haven't gone for the promotion. Now you have to hit, I think they now make it to where a sergeant is now at like 18 years or something like that. But here's what I do know. You cannot retire from the Army until you've hit at least staff sergeant. Okay? As a staff sergeant, you know, as a staff sergeant, you got to hit that in order to be allowed to retire. You could do 20 years in the Army, but you're only an E5 sergeant. Guess what? You're only getting an honorable discharge Or what you do, what's smart for some people, that because other people don't think of this, and usually by the time they hit 20 years, they're at least a staff sergeant or sergeant first class, I'll be honest. But for those few that don't, what they tend to do is go to the National Guard or the Reserves and then serve that time there and eventually get promoted to staff sergeant, and then they can retire. You know, and it's not a reserve retirement because they already did 20 years active duty, so it would be an active duty retirement, full pension, everything. You know, now Sam's saying, you know, generational knowledge plays here. They depend on the passive knowledge to make logic of funds. But here's the only, like I'm trying to say is, you got these people that have done this job for so long and not take a promotion. It makes no sense for them not to be moving up in the ranks, especially if you got somebody, because here's the other thing, like it points out, is it does undermine the leadership, because what if the person all the way at the very top has been doing this job, they've been in it for, say, 18 years, and now they are the manager of the whole location, but you got a guy who's been doing it for 30 years, and all they do is they undermine the leadership, they knock down anything they say, and people go to them. You know, Luke, Scott, some of them don't have a fucking choice. Yeah, they do. It's called go to another company, Scott. That's the deal. Okay? It's always try. Like I said before, I understand if people need a little bit more time. If they go for a promotion and they don't get picked, that's okay. Although I will admit as well, in the military, it's also like, for example, captains and colonels who try to go to admiral or general, you allow 3 times to try to make that promotion to a 1-star, you know, rear admiral or brigadier general. If you don't make it by the 3rd time, you're actually forced into retirement. Go figure. But what do you call it? We got one guy, another guy. I'm not the biggest fan of him. He's got a lot of experience and all that. You know, not everything's run like the Army, but here's the thing is, I'm not saying it has to be run like the Army. It just happens to run in a format that the Army runs. There are companies in this country that do that as well. If you don't take a promotion after a certain point, you know, then, you know, they're going to have to look at moving you out because they're going to want to fill with new things. They're going to want to fill with new people. Because here's the other problem. If you got somebody who's been in the job for 20, 30 years, they still keep a mindset of how they used to do things, and they still want to do things like that. We got a guy who's just like that, who still wants to do things the old way. And eventually it's going to come to the point that it's going to bite him severely hard because of the fact that there are things that's done now, policies and that have changed, laws that have changed, and et cetera. You know, and it's changed to the point that, like, now certain things have to be done here or there, certain safety parameters, this or that, and he doesn't like that. But guess what? That's what the policies say. That's what the law says. These are the things that have to be, you know, that has it. You know, now, Luke, go to sleep. It's okay, dude. You have a good one. Scott, people can't adapt. People can adapt. I'm talking about the fact that these guys don't adapt is what I'm trying to get at. That's the thing, is that some of these people don't want to adapt. They want to do things the way they used to do it. They don't want to leave that, like Sam was pointing out before about the idea of the comfort zone. These guys have a comfort zone of how they used to do things, how they like to do things, and it can't be done anymore like that, but they say, screw it, I'm doing it that way. That's how I know it. That's how I like it. But they've been trained on how to do it the new way. And they're like, no, I'm still doing it this way. And because they got more years and experience than the manager, it causes a lot of problems. And the manager's got to be the one to rein them in and cause a problem. But, you know, if it's not something that's enough to be able to fire the person, then what's it going to be? So eventually, there needs to be a glass ceiling, you know. A glass ceiling. And why do I say that? You know, we always say the glass ceiling. But here's why I say the glass ceiling for this case, this example, is the glass ceiling, the ceiling stops. You can't move much more. You can move by taking the promotion, and now you've broken through that glass ceiling, and now you're going up. Okay? And, like, now, all you gotta do is, like, take one promotion. Now, I got my cousin who works in the same business as me, you know? We don't work together, you know? We don't go to work together, the same thing. Different hours, different items, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? His belief was, here's one of the other benefits that comes with retirement, is our retirement, our pension system is set up in a way that they take the top 5 highest paid years for you, and they use that, and then they do the mathematical equation of how many years in the job, you know, how long you've been serving here, all this kind of stuff. You know, a lot of police departments, for example, they do this as well. I think a lot of government agencies actually do it. And that's how they figure out how much your pension's going to be yearly, monthly, and et cetera. My cousin has outright said he doesn't want to take a promotion until it gets to the last 5 years, because the promotion's going to help him get a higher pay scale. What it is our company also has basically a deal of, you hit a certain age, you're forced out. You hit X amount of time in the company without a promotion, you are forced out. I don't think that those ones are strict enough. I think that they should be stronger, you know, lower the time requirement. But, you know, that's how it is like that. So they do have these markers where eventually you're forced out. You know, it's a lot later. He has said that he wants to do, it's called like the drop program or something like that, you know, where you put in and you say, okay, I'm going to retire. I have this much time left. I'm putting in my time like this. And in 5 years, I'm going to be out. From this date, 5 years from now, I'm going to be out. What does that do? First off, it guarantees that you are never going to be going for a promotion in those 5 years, because you're accepting at the rank you're at. Okay? So there's that. Your rank, your position, whatever you're at right now, that's what it is. Okay? I'm an intermediate analyst. I'm staying at this for 5 years. Okay? So now they know, they don't have to worry about trying to figure out for you. They also know, hey, guarantee that spot's going to be open in 5 years. Okay? And it does the math, and you know, eventually you get taken out. They also, when they do the drop program like that, they actually offer, I think, a little bit of a pay raise for that time period, because it's the incentive. That's one of the incentives they do as well, to get people who have been in for much longer to get out, is that they offer you the drop program, where they offer you a little bit more of a pay raise, which helps out your pension. And in 5 years, you have all the time in the world to plan out that you're going to be getting out. Now, here's the thing. You apply for the drop program. You are not forced into it. You apply for it. You know, the only time that's different is the fact of, you know, when you know that you're coming closer to the maximum age for working at the place. You know what I mean? There's like the age limits and everything due to safety standards and other stuff. Usually you're putting in for it on your own, okay? So you are choosing when you're like, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to retire or do whatever and enjoy that. Or I'm going to go for another job and work with the pension I'm going to have, which is going to be great. So you put in for the drop program. Usually people put in at about anywhere from 20 to 25 years is when they put in for the drop program with the company. So that means that they're going to get out at 25 to 30 years. My cousin has outright said that he'll go for the promotion at about the 20-year mark, because he sees himself retiring at 25 years, and he wants to get the promotion, do the amount of time required at that level, and then be allowed to apply for the drop program. Okay, there's that. But, again, I'm just not a fan of the idea of it being that late before going for your first promotion, especially if you got those older mindsets, because that's, again, what I'm pointing out is sometimes it's a real safety standard of doing things the old way when that's not how it's done anymore, and especially if there's a lot more risks and safety standards. I mean, we can look back to how this used to be done. You know, let's just go back to the days of the Industrial Revolution. There were so many safety standard risks and everything under Carnegie and Henry Frick and stuff like that at the steel mills and the coal mills and the factories and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's a stretch is what I'm trying to say, and I got that. But what I'm trying to say is, you look at those things, and eventually times changed. There was new labor laws put in. There was new safety standards. Company or government organizations like OSHA and MSHA down the road was created and perfected. You know, I'm not trying to get into the fight of all the stuff about those companies. What I'm trying to say is those things came about. You know, times change. Now there's new standards and new laws and stuff, and those affect the private industry. So these times change with that. And when you have somebody who comes from the old standard for so long of knowing it like that, it does run those kind of risks. Is that the fact that they're going to want to go back to those old patterns, and you can't do it sometimes. So you're going to have to look about these and try to figure it out. You know, I know they're not perfect, and I know they're not that it's the gold standard for all of it to how to do, you know. One of the best things I see, though, you know, because I've been doing this topic now for, I've been doing this for about 55 minutes. So I'm going to be probably closing it up in the next 10 minutes or so, try to keep this only a little over an hour. one of the best benefits that comes with the promotion is there's always new kinds of training, new experiences, new logic, and new items that you get with the promotions. That's a great thing. That comes, it's such a benefit for you, you know? And you need those. And you need to be able to have those stepping stones in life and in work, you know? It's not healthy to be the person to demand more and want more, but never take on more responsibility. You know, you want to reap the benefits, you got to take on the responsibility. But there are a lot of benefits personally, because when you learn more and you get more experience, you learn your new limits, you know. There are people, you know, as Sam mentioned, the whole comfort zone thing. There are people who don't take these promotions, don't do these things, don't do the extra things because it's outside their comfort zone. In some cases, they don't know that they can't, if they can do it or not. They think that they're not able to handle it. They're not skilled enough. You take a promotion, you learn, you have new limits, you know. It's like having a car. Imagine having a car and all you've ever known is driving to 75 miles an hour. You know that the car can go up to 75 miles an hour. You drive it to 70 and you don't really come close to 75 because you know it to be the limit. But and you think that that's all you can do. And people say, you underestimate what your car can do. And next thing you know, the day comes and you push on the gas a little bit more. And now you're doing 80 miles an hour. You've passed the limit that you thought was the max for your car. You never thought your car could do more. And then another time down the road, it's like, you know what, maybe I can try that again. And next thing you know, you're pushing your car to 90 and you've moved up. And it's like, I didn't think this car could do it. And then eventually you're doing it and it's at 100. And then you have 105 and then 110. And then you're pulled over and being arrested for reckless driving and risking the lives of others because why are you driving 110 miles an hour? What do you think this is, NASCAR? Come on. You know, now, Sam, as an example, in the dental field, then you crash. That too, Scott. As an example, in the dental field, machines last a year, then need to be upgraded and relearned. It's not cheap, so some resist, but move up and on at this point. Exactly. That's a great one. You know, right there. These things need to get those upgrades, and you need to learn these things. That's what I'm saying. So if you keep using the old stuff, and it doesn't, and just it causes problems, you know, you're doing it wrong. So that's one of the things. You know what I mean? But that's like the example I mentioned with the car. Let me give you a personal example with the whole vehicle thing that works. Humvees. When I was deployed to Iraq, the fastest, the highest speed we were ever allowed to go in our Humvees, 40 miles an hour in Iraq. Okay? To this day, I can remember specifically how the dashboard looked on the Humvee. I don't know the max speed of the Humvees. I don't know even know if they kept it at the factory max speeds. I don't know if they put something in there to make it go slower. And trust me, there were things put like that. During World War II, I think it was like that. Preston Tucker came up with an armored car that could be able to drive through the fields with a machine gun turret on top. And the thing could actually go up to like 80 miles an hour or something. And the government chose not to get it because of the fact that they had a standard that said nothing faster than like 32 miles an hour or some shit. Which they fell in love with his bulletproof glass turret cover. And they used that for some of their planes and everything. If you think back, like the underbelly gunners. You know, really cool stuff. So he made a lot of money off of that concept alone, let alone just the concept of the rest of the vehicle. But I don't know what the maximum speed is of a military general American high mobility multi-wheeled vehicle, a Humvee. I don't know what the maximum speed is. Never got to experience the maximum speed. We pushed 40 miles an hour, and we were lucky if we saw 42. You know, that's what it was. So I don't know what the maximum ability is for my Humvee. I'm going to take a look right now. Max speed of Humvee. By the way, a Humvee, you think it's spelled H-U-M-V-E-E, which many people do that. It's actually spelled H-M-M-W-V, which it stands for High Mobility Multi-Wheeled Vehicle. And look at that. The maximum speed of a Humvee is 70 miles per hour. Newer Humvee versions can be equipped with an optional central tire inflation system kit, CTIS, in the field. While it's optimized for off-road mobility, it can drive at highway speeds of 55 miles an hour and maximum weight with a top speed of 70 miles per hour. never would have guessed. Could I believe 50, 55 miles an hour? Probably. The fact that a Humvee could actually go up to 70, I'm shocked. I really am shocked. Because I'm so used to only being at 40 miles an hour. So I've thought, you know, the government still is selling a bunch of Humvees on auction to the people, you know, to the, you know, to get these high mobility, multi-purpose rural vehicles, you know, why just a Humvee, you know, what do you call it? I can get them for cheap. Some of them go to auction for like $4,000. Majority of them go for $4,000. And one of the reasons I always thought about not getting it was like, I'll never be able to meet speed on the highways. You know, maximum speed on the interstate is 70, and people, of course, push to 75. Now I know, one, I can never be in the left lane. I'm never going to be going faster than most people. But I now know that, two, I can get a Humvee and be able to drive at a good amount of speed. 70 miles an hour, I will never get a speeding ticket when I'm on the interstate, because the interstate's basically 70 miles an hour the entire time. One of the other highways, a state highway, it has portions where it goes down to 55 miles per hour. So, I mean, there are some spots. But for the most part, like on the interstates at 70 miles an hour in Florida, yeah, I'm safe. So, that right there. I mean, look, would I have wanted to drive faster in the Humvee? No doubt. I wasn't afraid to try to find the new limit. I was ordered not to find out the limit. That was the big thing. I was ordered to never know the limit of the Humvee. I mean, look, I mean, I could have looked in the manual, the book, and know what the maximum speed actually is, but I was ordered to never physically know it. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to get at with this whole thing, is that there are people who won't take the promotion and not take on the extra responsibilities just because of the fact that they don't think they can handle it. Now, I understand if people are afraid to take the promotion because it's unknown. It's outside the comfort zone. You don't think you can handle it. Because guess what? You haven't done it. So how are you supposed to know? You could talk to the people in those positions, and they'll help you figure it out and, you know, try to help you feel more comfortable. But you don't know outright, you know? It's a new thing. So I understand that. That's one of the biggest reasons people don't take promotions that I always understand. If you don't know if you could do it, maybe they would date, because, you know, what is it? People have said, I deal with stressful days as is. I mean, God forbid, if you made me a supervisor, I don't know how I could handle it. I sympathize with that to the umpteenth degree, because I understand that. I understand the fact that people don't know. If they deal with so much stress as is, how are they supposed to handle this or that? That's fine. I get that. I really do. And I sympathize. But sometimes you gotta be willing to push yourself out there and see. Here's an example. Here's one thing that people can tend to do. There were guys at our job that are at my level, but end up being put in acting positions for the next level, because there are people who, if they get called on vacation days, or people get called in sick, it happens, you know. And so, like, it could be one or two people ends up having to be put in an acting supervisory position. So you're getting an experience like that. You're learning some of the things. You're learning what some of them are going through. You know, you're not getting the full feel. You're getting the full feel for a day, sure, but you're not getting the full constant feel. But you know what that is? That's exposing you to what all's going on, and that can help you out in realizing it's not as bad as I thought. Or, man, I'm doing pretty good at this. Maybe at the end of the day, your boss is like, hey, you know, you did really good this week. You know, being in that acting position. You know, just letting you know. I think you got what it takes if you ever want to look at that promotion, you know. I've always thought that in you, but you proved it to me, and more importantly, I think you proved it to yourself, you know, dude. So you might want to look at that promotion down the road when just put in your application, you know, when the spot opens. And that right there, that's a way if people want to take a promotion or if they're afraid to take a promotion, test yourself out there. Take on one or two extra responsibilities and say, look, I'm thinking about a promotion down the road, but I'll be honest, I don't know if I could do it all. Can I try doing some of the tasks that you do and do it for you so I can see how I match up? Now, one thing that people forget when you do that is that you're taking on the tasks you already have, and then you're taking on more. So you may stress yourself out and thinking that this is it and you just can't handle it, when the fact is you're forgetting that you got a lot of other things you're doing. At my job, I could tell you this. There is a lot more liability on my supervisors than there is actual work. Now, don't get me wrong, they do a lot of actual work, but they're able to breathe more. They're able to sit down more. And I'm not saying like in a lazy way, but what I'm saying is, you know, you can give credit to a general all you want. You can give a credit to the colonels and the majors. But you know what? There's a reason why the Army, for an example, that the non-commissioned officer, which is corporals and sergeants all the way up to sergeant major, is called the backbone of the Army. They're the ones who get the wheeling and dealing done. Okay? The next level supervisor and the entry level jobs, those are the two jobs that does everything and gets everything working. You take that first promotion, you're still in there in the thicket and you're doing the work with the guys. You take that second promotion, and you fall out the next level. And now it's you keeping track. You're now going back and forth. You're basically becoming like a runner. You go into this section. You got this stuff done? Good. Okay, you got that stuff done? Good. Okay, this one? Okay, you guys are 20 minutes behind. Okay, hop to it. Let's go. Let's go. Okay, do you need extra help? We can. I think section 5 is actually calmed down right now. I can grab one of those guys and bring it over if you need the help. You know, stuff like that. You know, you're going to be doing a lot of that stuff, but you're not doing the knit and gritty, you know. And there is a relaxation for that. There's more liability. If things fail, people look at you because you're the leader. And were you on top of it? Were you keeping track? Were you helping out the team if they need it? Stuff like that. Okay? There was a lot of benefits, a lot of fears, and a lot of unknowns with the promotion. But, you know, I talked and I know, and I could see if some people weren't a fan of what I was saying. Those live in the chat room, and some people listen on this on the download, probably one of the biggest fans of some of the things I said. But I'm going to say this: people who don't take a promotion, the people they hurt the most, it can be their team, depending on their leadership, but depending on how things go. If you're the humble person, you learn and always adapt to new stuff, then you're fine. It's yourself. You're hurting yourself because you don't know if you can handle the next level. You're not giving yourself the opportunity. You're not trying. You gotta see what your limits are. You could be the greatest thing ever that comes with a job, and you could take over. You know, people know I follow politics, and one of the best examples I've heard when it comes to politics, and I'm not going to name a specific politician, okay, guys, or take an aside, but people have said, you know, you don't know if you could be a great president or a great governor or a great senator or a great politician if you don't put yourself out there and try. Show what you have available, you know. Maybe you're the person who does run for office, and you could be a great mayor or a great county commissioner, but you can't handle it at the state level and being a governor, and you could be a crappy governor. But guess what? You found your limit. You put yourself out there and you became a county commissioner or a mayor. You know, like Houston, Dallas, New York City, those are big positions, you know what I mean? Sam, if everyone is a leader, no one will follow as well. I'm not saying everyone has to be a leader. What I'm saying is when the spot opens, you take the opportunity is what I'm saying, Sam. You can only become a leader if the spot is there, okay? That's the big important thing. If a company says we have 5 supervisory positions and that's it, and then there you go, that's it. You can't have 30 employees. If you have 30 employees, only 5 of them can be supervisors. Then you have the 25 followers. But the 25 followers, if they put themselves out there and take a couple of tests, take a couple extra responsibilities and learn, you can find out which 5 of them are the most likely to be the next supervisors and could be the great supervisors that move up. You get people, and Scott, you could say I'm judging, and you know what? To a point, I probably am. You know, but sometimes you get that. You got to look and find out, because you may be able to do so much more and so much more of a benefit to find out what it is that you're capable of and what you're doing. If you can offer so much and you can do it to the next, I mean, there were some people that I look at my job, I know are going to be some of the senior high-ranking leadership down the road. And if they're in, thank God, because they're awesome. Now, the current leadership that we got is already great. You know what I mean? It's already great. You know, but when you look to the future, the current management is not going to be there. In a few years, a majority of them are going to be gone. Just rotate out, go to another place or whatever, you know. It just happens. So you got to figure out who's going to be the next ones. And you got some of the people here who know what they're doing And if they take those promotions, they could be the ones running the place, and it will be a fine-tuned, fine-oiled engine for sure. You know what I mean? That's what you have sometimes, is what you could see. You know, you got to find out what your limit is. You know what I mean? So you got to be able to find out what your abilities are. The biggest disbenefit, I say, when it comes to not taking a promotion is you don't know your limits. You don't know your skills, and you don't know all that you'd be able to get to. That's the best thing about it. You will learn so much more about yourself when you take the promotion and see what you're skilled at. And the other part is that, you know, people come to you, I mean, because of your knowledge or something. If you take a promotion, you could be able to do, you'll have more people coming to you. One, because they're supposed to, and two, because they love you enough to know and trust you enough, and at the next level, you know what I mean? So that's basically it. I'm going to start getting on out of here. I can't really come up with a catchy song for an outro, to be honest. You know, I can't come up with anything. So I think there's something. I'm going to, from a Grand Theft Auto song. So let's just enjoy this from Grand Theft Auto 5. 91.1, The Lowdown. I don't know. I'm just typed in for YouTube to check for some songs, and this popped up, so why not? So let's close out. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I hope maybe it gave you some more confidence in yourself or some things, because maybe there's somebody out there who's doubting themselves about a promotion and not sure what they want to do, you know? So, you know, maybe you could take this, and if people think that I'm being judgmental, I know I am. I know I'm being judgmental. I understand many cases where people are doing it, but I do believe it is a disbenefit to not go for the promotions if you're capable, you know, and if you got all the experience. But that doesn't mean you have to take it immediately. I pointed that out. If you need more time, if you want more certainty, then go for it. That's fine. You know, we all need to know what our limitations are and what our skills can be. And if you feel you've actually hit your glass ceiling, then you're at the glass ceiling. You stay there. You're at the top of that pedestal, and anybody who's below is going to come to you for knowledge and advice. So, yeah, I'm Johnny Float, and enjoy the song. Love a man, you got my life in the palm of your hand.